Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. For he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Thank God for the Bible. It tells me who I am. Thank God for the Bible. It tells me where I'm bound. Thank God for the Bible. It makes the way so plain. Thank God for the Bible. It exalts the Savior's name. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. Thank you, Pastor, for the privilege of preaching again today. You know, I know churches and pastors where the former pastor is not even welcome back on the property. That is a sad story. But I want to thank God for our pastor who's honored and loved and respected the years that I was here with my wife and me in the ministry, and we praise God for that. And thank you for your faithfulness. And thank you in advance for the birthday program. I'll be 29 again. Donald King misrepresented the truth the other Sunday in the auditorium class. He told the folks I was 80 years old. Well, I'm just 78. But I'm climbing Jacob's ladder every day. And I praise the Lord I ever found this way. When this old world's on fire, you may know that I've gone up higher. For I'm climbing Jacob's ladder every day. Come on and climb it with me, folks. Open your Bible. Oh, by the way, did I tell you when we open the Bible opens the mind of God? Let's see what God's thinking about in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 2. 2 Kings, chapter number 2, as you're finding your place there. I should remind you again, as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives. And the Bible is right. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And I'm happy to report to you it's settled right here on this earth in this wonderful, priceless book that we call the Bible, inspired and infallible, inerrant and impeccable, and powerful and precious and perfect and pure and pontifical, and preserved for us in our own language in the King James Version, that we can read it and heed it and hide it in our hearts and hold it forth to a gainsaying world. 2 Kings chapter 2, I begin reading at verse 1 after we pray. Would you join me, please, in prayer? And now, Heavenly Father, we are indeed grateful for the opportunity that is ours to stand in this place with an open Bible. We are not afraid of what the devil can do, because greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. So we ask for permission to read this holy word and pray that it would pierce the hearts and encourage the hearts and change and challenge each one of us today, as we see what happened to your great man, Elijah the prophet. A foretaste of what we're going to have one of these days, and it will not be long. Help us to see it and to hear it and to eat it and to digest it and to assimilate it into our spiritual being. For those who may not know the Savior, may this be the hour that they come to know him. For those who need to renew their covenant with thee, those, dear Lord, that have need of having their contract signed all over again, I pray the Holy Spirit would bring them to the place that they ought to be. In Jesus' name, we offer the prayer with thanksgiving. Amen. And now 2 Kings chapter number 2 at verse number 1. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I will do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. I paused from my reading long enough to say that God answered that prayer. Elijah performed 8 miracles in his ministry. Elisha performed 16 miracles. That's a double portion, isn't it? You math students, help me with that and figure that out. I read now verse number 10, and it came to pass. They still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. The last time we saw Elijah, he was on Mount Carmel in a ballistic showdown with the prophets of Baal. He slew 450 of them. He called down fire from heaven that burned up the altar of Baal, even after they had poured 12 barrels of water upon it. Now we see Elijah at the close of his ministry. He's just about to be translated to heaven. And from what I read in the text, he was ready to go. He was finishing his ministry well. In January coming, I will celebrate my 60th anniversary in the ministry. And I pray God, Brother Patterson, I pray God that I will finish well. I want to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Elijah lived a life of dedicated service for God. And that says to us that we ought to live lives of dedicated service. We ought to follow the admission of the admonition of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12 at verse 1 and 2. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Can I tell you what I told the auditorium class this morning? God does not want you to bring a bleeding lamb to this altar. He wants you, listen, the lamb has already been slain. Praise to the lamb. And there will never be another Garden of Gethsemane. There'll never be another Calvary's cross. There'll never be another crown of thorns. There'll never be another riven side. There'll never be more nails in the hand or in the feet. For Jesus suffered once, underscored it, once in the end of the world. He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Present your body a living sacrifice. Elijah lived a life of faithfulness and fidelity to his fellow men. He was up front with Elisha. He just told it like it was. You and I should live lives of honesty and integrity and decency and morality. Listen to what Paul said in Romans 12:17. "Provide things honest in the sight of all men." Now, ladies and gentlemen, not everybody can be great or powerful or famous or rich, but everybody can be honest. Let us be honest in our living. In the sight of all men, provide things honest. His life was an inspiration to the man who followed him, the man by the name of Elisha, his successor. All of us should set good examples for those who are following us. Because you know, if Jesus tarries his coming, somebody needs to find a path that you have pioneered, a path that you have made toward the glory world, so they can follow behind. Paul admonished Timothy in that area in 1 Timothy chapter 4 at verse 12, where he wrote, "Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, that is in your lifestyle, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Lives of great men all remind us we can make our lives sublime, and departing, leave behind us footprints in the sands of time. Be careful, my friend, what you say. Be careful where you go. Be careful how you look. Be careful with whom you go. Be careful the company you keep. Don't blend into the culture of this Babylonian world system. That's what Paul said, not conformed to this world, not made like this world, but renewed, the renewing of your mind. We're going to be something more, ladies and gentlemen. We ought to get ready for that while we're here, preparing for it. Instead of complying with the standards of the world, hear me now, we should set a standard for the world. And we should raise the bar high. I heard J. Frank Norris say more than 60 years ago, if I see something that looks like a duck and walks like a duck, swims like a duck and quacks like a duck, I call it a duck. I think you get the message. Paul said, come out from among them and be as separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Hear me when I say it. You're writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by the deeds you do and the words you say. Men read what you write, whether faithless or true. Say, what is the gospel according to you? Did you know that your life is the only gospel that the sinner can read? He may mistake a sermon, a message, some great oratorical delivery, but he will not mistake the way you live on the job, the attitude you portray, the way you dress. These things are important, ladies and gentlemen. So let us be good example setters, so that those who come behind us, the little children that are over there in the children's worship services right now, that they can see something in us that will make them want to go on and on and on until they reach the plane of spiritual maturity. Now, I've entitled this message, are you ready for this? Gone with the Wind. You think I'm going to let the devil just take that title and use it in a movie or a book without my using it right out of this book? Gone with the Wind. When Elijah went with the wind, he was carried to heaven in a miraculous manner. Verse 11 says, and it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah, here it is, went up by a whirlwind into heaven. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Gone with the wind. What a way to go. Hollywood could never stage an event like this. This was no make-believe. There was no stunt man. There was no stand-in for Elijah. Elijah himself was caught up in a marvelous manifestation of the power of Almighty God. He entered the peaceful rest of his eternal reward. No more labor, no more sorrow, no more heartache, no more suffering, no more pain, no more trials and troubles and tribulations and temptations. It's all over. He's gone with the wind into heaven. By the way, when God is ready to take a loved one, please don't try to restrain them. Don't try to hold them back. Let them go. When it's God's time, it's God's time. Back at verse 3, the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. You want Bible's translation for that? Keep your mouth shut. I know what God's going to do. I know Elijah's going to heaven in a whirlwind today. Just let him go. When Elijah went to heaven with the wind in the second place, he was accompanied by the Lord himself. God, listen, God personally escorted Elijah into heaven. Verse number 11 tells us about a chariot of fire, but wait a minute. Psalm 68:17 says, and I quote, the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. Now watch this, the Lord is among them as in Sinai, the holy place. Just as God was among his people at Mount Sinai, he was with Elijah when he went to heaven in a whirlwind, gone with the wind. If you'll let me use my sanctified imagination, I hope you have one too. If you don't, get you one. I believe that God was in the lead chariot, and there were 19,999 chariots following close behind. He went to heaven in a whirlwind, gone with the wind, in the presence of the Lord and accompanied by 20,000 chariots and multiplied thousands of angels. I say again, what a way to go. I see in the third place. When Elijah went with the wind, he served as a picture of our translation and rapture at the coming of the Lord Jesus. Come with me to yonder Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus is on the mount. There appeared with him Moses and Elijah. Now watch this carefully. We know that Moses died and God buried him. Moses then will represent on the Mount of Transfiguration, he will represent all of those who will die in the faith and be buried and go to heaven by the doorway of death. If you do go by that way, you can say with the psalmist, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Elijah, on the other hand, who did not die, who went to heaven in a whirlwind, he represents those that will be raptured, who will be alive at the coming of Christ, who will be raptured, who will go to heaven without ever seeing death. Oh, joy, oh, delight, should we go without dying? No sickness, no sadness, no dread, and no crying. Caught up through the clouds with our Lord into glory when Jesus receives his own. Oh, what a wonderful thing that would be. Elijah escaped death. He circumvented the medical authorities. He cheated the undertaker. We talk about the high cost of living. Have you considered the high cost of dying? He took a royal ride to heaven with God in a whirlwind. Let me emphasize it, ladies and gentlemen, gone with the wind. And one day, and it shall not be long, we're going to take a royal ride to heaven with Jesus. That's what he said. I quote him in John 14. Here I go quoting Jesus again. I just love to quote Jesus. John 14:1, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Wow. And you know what? The most reliable source we have in the whole book, apart from Jesus himself, is the Apostle Paul. He wrote 14 books of the New Testament. Don't you think he'd be a good witness along this line? I'm going to tell you what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 at verse 13. He said, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort ye one another with these words." we too are going to be gone with the wind. There's going to be a meeting in the air in the sweet, sweet by and by, and God's own Son will be the leading one in that meeting in the sky. Did I hear someone ask, where is heaven? Well, I'm not so sure that I know, but I know this, 'tis heaven to me wherever I be, if He is there. And ladies and gentlemen, He will be there. Did I hear someone ask, how will you know Him? I shall know Him. I shall know Him as redeemed. By His side I shall stand. I shall know Him. I shall know Him by the prints of the nails in His hands. Did someone ask, when is He coming? I don't know. And you don't know. And nobody knows. I'm going to let Jesus Himself answer the question. I'm going to quote Jesus again, if you don't mind. I love to quote Jesus. He's the greatest authority the world has ever known. And He said in Matthew chapter 24 at verse 36, now don't miss that, of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Only God knows. I believe this, it won't be long. I believe we ought to trim our lamps. I believe we ought to get our lives on the altar. I believe we ought to rededicate ourselves, commit ourselves to winning souls, to teaching and preaching and going and giving and sharing and doing everything we've been commanded to do, because the time surely must be short. These are surely the last days. False Christ are rising on the scene. Recently, one of the chief leaders of the fanatical Islamic religion said, and I quote, all men are born slaves of Allah, end of quote. I want to set the record straight. Are you listening? I was not born a slave of Allah. By nature, I was born a sinner. By grace, 67 years ago, I was born again into the family of God, and I'm a son of God by faith in Jesus Christ. End of the story. Did I hear someone ask? Oh, by the way, Jesus said in the 44th verse of Matthew 24, therefore be ye also ready. He didn't say get ready, by the way. There's a difference in being and getting. He said be ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Do you want to know for whom He's coming? If you'll listen very carefully, I'll tell you. Now, this isn't coming from me, as smart as I am. It's coming from the book. The only book. And here it is, Hebrews 9:28. Please don't miss this. Unto them that look for Him. Did you get that? Unto them that look, I'm quoting, unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time. Question, are you looking for Him? I have another question, maybe two. How should we be living in view of His coming? I'm going to call John the apostle to the witness stand. He's a good apostle too. He's a good witness too. He wrote 5 books of the New Testament. He should be a good witness on this. And here's what he said in his first letter, chapter 2 at verse 28. And now, I love the way he addresses it. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, now watch this, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. I said I had one or two more questions. I do have just one more now, and here it is. This is a very personal question. In view of what John said, not be ashamed before Him, I ask you, heart to heart, Is there anything in your life of which you would be ashamed if he were to appear today? Let's stand, please, for our prayer. We don't know when, but we do know he is coming. We know for whom he's coming. We know how we'll recognize him. We know how we ought to live in view of his coming. While our heads are bowed this morning, the altar's open, the invitation has already begun. My friend, if God is speaking to your heart this morning about any matter, you don't have to wait until we sing or pray or bid you come. Just step out. Step out of your seat. Whoever's by you will excuse you. Just step out of your seat right now. If God is speaking to your heart, come and do business with him at an altar prayer. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never trusted our Savior. We invite you to trust him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I invite you to come and take him as your Savior. You may have been saved 25 or 30 years. You may have been saved a week or a month. But if there's something missing in your life, if you're not ready for his return, if there's anything in your life that ought not to be, I would ask you to step out of your seat this morning. You don't have to confess anything before man. Just tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus alone. Come on to the altar this morning. Don't be ashamed to do it. Don't be ashamed of him before men, or he'll be ashamed of you before his angels and his Father in heaven. Father, speak to all of our hearts this morning. We all need to live in readiness for your return, and we don't know how soon that's going to be, but we know it's coming. So I just pray for men and women, boys and girls, young people, whomever, families, some that need to join the church, may they step out boldly and bravely and unashamedly. Even now, in Jesus' name, I pray.